How's it going, everybody? Good morning. Man, good morning. I got my notes. I got my phone for a little timer. I got a towel in case I get sweaty. And I got my water. I'm ready to go. How are you guys today? You know, I'm excited because when the people of God together gather together, and there's a spirit of, and an atmosphere of expectance, that's prime atmosphere for God to move, isn't it? And so what I want you to do is just turn like to three people next to you right now, give them a high five and just say, get ready, get ready. Now, I'm no teacher like Pastor Paul. I'm not as formal up here. I'm a little bit informal. I'm a youth pastor. You heard about that. So what I'm used to in youth ministry is students pulling up their phones, watching TikToks out loud while I'm preaching. I'm kind of used to the distraction. But most of all, I'm used to the feedback. So I need some feedback, otherwise I'm going to talk forever and we'll never get out of here. So if you are ready and you're expected for God to do something today, will you just give me some feedback right now? Is anybody excited for a word today? Okay, that was so... I'm so glad you're so much better already than you were last time I was preaching. I don't know if you guys are just getting used to me, but it was a dead room when I did that. So this is much better. I'm a lot more relaxed. This is going to go much better for us. I'm excited for what God's going to do. Thank you for the opportunity, Pastor Paul and Ainsley. I'm not even sure if she's even watching or not, but I hope you are. But in this message today, you're going to hear about a little bit more about my story. I know it's hard for me to talk about myself when I'm singing lyrics that are already pre-written out, but today you'll hear like bits and pieces of my story. Maybe you can kind of connect the dots, learn a little bit more about me, but also really how I ended up with this word today. So I'm a firm believer that physical obedience leads to spiritual breakthrough. So because we're in an atmosphere of expectance, would you just like, as we pray together, would you hold your hands like this as we are ready to receive something from God? So Lord, today, would you fill our cups today, God? Would you speak to each and every one of us in this room? God, it doesn't matter what season of life we're in, but God, I pray, and I know and I believe that opening up the Word of God together will speak to every one of us, no matter what season of life that we're in, because that's how Scripture works, that's how your Word works, God. So today, God, would you help us to leave refreshed today, inspired by what your Word says? In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I believe I'm on assignment today to tell somebody in this room that you are marked by God. It sounds a little cliche, but I believe that someone came in here a little discouraged today. Someone has received the hits of life and you're knocked down, you're discouraged today. But you have to realize this because the enemy has told you and he's come to tell you to stop, right? He wants you to quit. He wants you to quit. You're too old. Maybe if you were in your 30s, maybe your 20s, but what can God do with you in your 60s? Come on, she's like, yes, Lord, let's me. Come on, I want to be used. But I'm serious. What can God do with you after the divorce? What can God do with you after the bankruptcy? But no matter the trial, I want to tell you today that you're still marked. No matter what you've been through, you're still chosen by God. You're still marked by the Spirit of God today. And no matter what you're facing, you're still marked. Can you hear that from me today? If you don't hear anything else, hear that today for me. So with a little bit of enthusiasm and expectation, would everybody just say with me, I'm marked. There you go. I began to think about people today in the Bible that were marked by God, and David is one of the first that comes to mind. You know, he was marked by God at a very young age, and if you would let me, there is a process to the palace, right? There was a process to his elevation, to the palace. Many times what the enemy can't destroy, he distracts. And the enemy cannot destroy you, so he will distract you. And that's just how he works. Maybe somebody in this room, you knew you were marked by God. Maybe you were on fire for him at one point. You knew you were called, but then this happened, and well, that happened too. And now God is saying, no, today is a refocus day for you. Today is refocus. We're going to come back into alignment, and we need to lean into this today. So he's got a plan and a purpose for your life today, church. It doesn't matter if you're 6 or you're 60, he's got a plan and a purpose. If you're sitting in here today, he is not done with you yet. He says, I formed you in your mother's womb. I've seen things for your life that you've never seen before. Can somebody say I'm marked?
I'm marked.
Yes, okay. You need to stop believing this lie that you can't do something for God. When you stop believing the lie, the truth has no other option but just to come out, right? And the truth is, no matter what you've been through, I'm saying it over and over, you're still marked by God. The distractions don't mean you're not called, you're just in the process. If you're anywhere between point A and point B, you're in the process. So join me in the process today. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you have your Bibles, man, I wish I had candy, because in youth group, if they bring their Bibles, I reward them with candy. If I had candy, I'd be throwing it out right now to all you guys who had candy. But if you have your Bibles, paper Bibles, if you're holier than the rest of them sitting in this room, would you open to 1 Samuel 16? 1 Samuel chapter 16. But I want to give you a little background before we kind of read the scripture. So at this time, Saul, a man named Saul, was king, right? We all know this. We all know a little bit about the story. He was king over all of Israel, over all of the land. He was marked and anointed, but he started disobeying God and doing things his own way. You know, sometimes I feel like we don't give Saul enough credit. Like in the he has a bad rap from the very beginning. No, he was still marked and anointed as king of Israel over one point, or he wouldn't be in that position. But because he started doing things his own way, God removed that anointing from him. Let me just put a pin in right there too, because it's just something interesting to me, that people can still be in leadership but not have the anointing. People can still have the title, but it doesn't necessarily equal anointing, right? But sometimes I feel like we mysticize or we worship this idea of anointing. Anointing is simply this, is just that God has a specific plan, purpose, and favor over a specific duty and a specific thing and a specific time to do. I'm no more special than the next person. I am just specifically anointed for this specific time at Hope Chapel, and there will be somebody in the future that is anointed for that position, right? That is what this anointing is about. And so God says, I'm going to choose the next king, because Saul's doing things his own way. The prophet Samuel is frustrated, and he says, God, I thought Saul was the man. You know, you showed me this. God said, stop crying, stop grieving. It's okay. I'm going to do a new thing. He'll still be the leader, but my anointing will not be on him, and it'll be on somebody else. You need to go to the house of Jesse, and you need to anoint one of his sons. So that's what we're going to pick up today. So in 1 Samuel 16, we're going to read starting in verse 6. I'm reading out of the NLT. And if you follow along, the scripture will be on the screen. It says this. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. See, the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. Amen. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't it amazing? God doesn't just have 20/20 vision, but he looks at the heart. He can see past the outward person, past the amount of Instagram followers you have, past the amount of cars you own, past the amount of houses you own, past the amount of zeros you have in your bank account, even past the goofy outfit that you wear. I'm going to be stepping on some toes. I'm sorry, people. I love you all very much. Then it says this in verse 8. It says, then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah. But Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord's chosen. In the same way, all 7 of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Imagine he's like, oh, my son's failures. None of them. And then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? Well, then he said, they're still the youngest. You know, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. You know, I found it interesting in this story how his father didn't even call him by his name. Do you realize that? He talked about... Abinadab, we talked about Shimeah and all the rest of his sons. David didn't even get his name used. But he was defined by a characteristic that was unattractive about him. Isn't that how we do? let's be honest. Isn't that how we do? We define people by characteristics that are unattractive. It's how we see people sometimes. You know, people look at your situation automatically and they start looking at what you're deficient at, what you're not good at. People look at how you messed up. That's how you're defined sometimes by people around you. It's not healthy. It's completely toxic behavior. But sometimes isn't it a little natural for us to want to view that way? They look at what you don't have and what others have. You know, like, oh, you know, her, the one with that outfit, the one with the nappy hair, the one, you know, the one who got divorced, the one who went to bankruptcy. Like, that's how people define you sometimes. But remember that God does not define you by where you're at, what you look like, what's happened. He says, I can see beyond that and what I can do with you. You know, God challenged me with this thought, is that as we begin to disqualify ourselves and others, is this not truly just a silent attempt at silently disqualifying a creation and a child of God? You know, can I be real? Verse 11, it says this, the end of verse 11 says, "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down until he arrives." And all the brothers are like, "Dang it, we can't eat. We got to wait for this fool to come over." Verse 12, it says, "So Jesse sent for him. He was dark, handsome, beautiful eyes." Get the picture? And the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." And then he says, "So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil," no, not the one out of your pantry, "and he said he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day forward." I want to tell you a story. So in high school, I was a football player. So that was something I did. I had never really been the most athletic kid. I was in ninth grade in a brand new school district, and I joined the football team, my first sports experience ever. But I loved football. I grew up being a Chargers fan. Do I have any football fans in the room? Woo! Any Chargers fans? Okay, come on now. Let's go. I see that hat. I love it. I'm hoping to go to a Chargers game this year, but I don't know. We'll see. But so I love the Chargers. That's just a team that I've always loved since I was a kid. I played Madden on my PlayStation 2. I was a Danian Tomlinson guy. That's what it's about. And so I loved football. I played football. Because in this specific story, it was one of the first games of the season, and I had been, through all of our practices, I had been chosen to be on the offensive line as a center, and then a defensive line as a middle inside linebacker. And so in this specific play, I was in defense, I was a linebacker, and linebackers usually get to hit the most, you know, because it's always, you're either blitzing for the quarterback and trying to sack him, or you're trying to hit the running back as you're trying to follow the running back wherever he goes. So typically, linebackers get a lot of action. They get to clobber people. And so this specific play, you know, as a football player, you're seeing it all happen in slow motion, but in reality, you're watching like a 3-second play, right? And so as I see the offensive line, like, push everyone to the side, and the running back has the ball coming up the middle, and I said, this idiot doesn't even see that I'm ready to clobber him. Well, the other team on the offense had a tight end, and her tight end was probably about, you know, I'm talking about, we're like in 10th grade. This kid was 6 foot, 6 foot three probably. He probably weighed at least 250 pounds. I didn't see him. And remember, I'm a new sports player, so I don't have the awareness of my surroundings. I had tunnel vision. I see what's in front of me. I'm going to hit him. So as I'm running and I'm ready to clobber this kid, this guy clobbers me, knocks me into next week. I think my mouthpiece flew out my helmet, and I was knocked out. I was done. I think I definitely had to sit out for a couple of plays. But the God brought to my attention this story, and what he told me is that, you know, there is nothing like the hit that you don't see coming. There's nothing like the hit you don't see coming. See, some of us don't see the hits of life coming, and we get knocked out. We don't want to get back up, but I'm here to tell you the hits of life, they are coming, and I want to prepare you for that. You know, there's some preachers out there that'll tell you, oh, the Lord, he's setting you up for a blessing, but I'm here to tell you, he's setting you up for some hits too. So get ready. He's going to hit, you're going to get hit, and I want you to be prepared as we look at the life of David today. He's telling you to get up, the fight isn't over, and God has a plan for your life. Can somebody say, I'm marked today? There we go. Okay, so as somebody who is marked, I want to give you the first point today. And as we look at David's life, he was approved in private. He was approved in private. Now, this one messes with us because we want to be recognized for what he's doing. We want everybody to know what God's doing in our life. But he spoke to you. Yeah, he moved in your life in church. Yeah, he spoke to you at that conference. But everyone doesn't need to know right now. Because the easiest time to kill something is when it's in an infant stage, right? Our natural tendency is to put something on display when it's in baby stage, and everyone sees it, but they kill it, they stab it, they destroy it, and they speak death over it, and then there it fizzles out right then and there. Think about it. When they were scared of Jesus, what did they do? They sent, and they knew the Messiah was being born, they sent for all the males under the age of 2 to be killed. Why? Because it's easy to kill something when it's in its infant stage, right? So David wasn't even invited to the party. He was content doing the last thing that God told him to and spending time in the presence. Hear that today. That wherever you're at today, just do the last thing that you know that God told you to and then spend time in the presence. And you will be approved in private. Amen. I grew up, I would say that I'm definitely the first believer in my family, the first person who's actually chosen to follow God wholeheartedly. And growing up in high school, you know, as I was on really in a crossroads of my life, I was trying to figure out, as I was pursuing God, it was almost like harming relationships at the house. And the reality was they just didn't want to see me. They wanted full control over my life. That's just how it was. And so as I would get closer to God, those relationships with my mom and my mom's boyfriend at the time and my stepbrothers all just got worse and worse and more strained. And so much so to where I get home every day and I'm being spoken these lies over my life that you're never going to amount to anything. You know, if you go to a Bible college, you're not, if you waste money on school like that, if you pursue God and if you don't get a real job, then you're never going to amount to anything. So that was what was spoken over me. But, and maybe some of you in this room are like that. Maybe you're a little bit older and you've swept this under the rug because it's been so long. You know you're called to do much more than you're doing now, but you're still marked even though nobody else knows. You're still marked by God even though nobody else knows. If you try to publicize it prematurely, someone will come and try to destroy what God is trying to do. And just remember, church, to do the last thing that God told you and to spend time in the presence. The Bible, I was beginning to wonder about David. And why was God always with David? God was always with David. And then God said, because David was with me. David spent time with me. And so this is not to mysticize the idea of spending time with God. It's just opening up the word. It's reading. It's talking to God. You can have a regular conversation with him. The second thing after you're approved in private is you are going to be, and we see this from David's life, is that you are anointed before you're positioned. You are anointed before your position. Picture with me, David goes into this room with all of his brothers. Samuel marks him and anoints him and tells him that he will be the next king of Israel. He will be the next king. For most of us, we'd be looking to go back to the palace with Samuel. We'd be looking to go live the high life. Oh yeah, I'm anointed as king. This is my time to shine. Come on, everybody, join me here. But not David. What was his next move? He went back to the pasture. He went back to the pasture because he was anointed before he ever got a position. So he's anointed before he gets a position, and he goes back with the sheep and goats. Sounds like where you're going Monday morning. Some of you would say, no way, I'm anointed now. God spoke to me at that church service when I lifted my hands. You know, he said, I was filled with the Spirit of God. So I have great things to do. And God says, now go back to that job of yours and be a light for me. Go back to where your sphere of influence is and be a light there. You are anointed before you're positioned. Yes, keep ushering, keep serving in kids, keep running live stream, keep doing tech, keep serving on worship team. But Sean, I've got songs to sing. But Sean, I've got sermons to preach to thousands. In time, but we in time that God will do his thing. But for now, just go back to serving in kids. Yeah, shameless plug here. We need people serving in kids. We need people serving on tech. We need people serving in all sorts of areas of the church. If you're not serving, you're missing the most critical part of being a Christian, if you're not serving. I'm just saying, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm not trying to step on too many toes too hard. I don't want you all limping when you leave today. This is the most frustrating thing for people, though, huh? For believers, that we don't know how to handle the weight. Can I tell you, as a millennial and as I pastor Gen Z, that is the most difficult thing to wait for things. Because of my phone, I can have anything that I want in an instant. I can send a message to somebody across the world. I can look up a result on something on Google in 2.5 seconds. I don't know how to wait. I have not been trained on how to wait. It is a hard discipline that is a lot harder for me than it probably is for most of you. I want things now and now. I know I'm called for more. You know you're called for more, but you don't even serve at church. You know you're called for work, for more work for God, but sometimes you don't know how to wait. Some of us are thinking, oh my gosh, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm here. Do it again. Like the song says, do it again. I'll see you do it again. I'm waiting. Oh my gosh, it takes forever. But is it, how are you waiting on God? At your service, God. What can I do for you? Maybe it's like that. It's a heart check, isn't it? It's a heart check, isn't it? The battle is that our expectations don't match with our experience. And that's messed up sometimes. It messes with us. But you got to stop wondering if God's going to do anything with your life, because he is a miracle worker and he just needs your obedience today. He just needs your obedience today. And I have this scripture to encourage you today out of Proverbs 3, and it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. It's not going to make sense. I haven't got a clue because God told me to. And then it says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. He's looking for a heart posture, church, not a plan from you. He's looking for what you're going to do. Go do the last thing that God told you to, and go spend time in the presence. The third thing, as somebody who is marked by God, you will be the answer to a problem. The answer to a problem. We all work with people around us who are not very good solutions, who are not very solution-oriented people. And it's frustrating for me sometimes. And I'm like, can we not just think of a solution and get to it right away? How about you? Do you work with people like that sometimes? It's just so frustrating. All we do is talk about the problems, but we never arrive at a solution. It's hard sometimes. Just for time's sake, I'm going to skip over a few scriptures. We don't have time, but you really just are going to have to leave church and read 1 Samuel 16 through 18, really up until chapter 24. It's going to give you a whole lot of background into what we're talking about today. But David goes back to the field, and one day Saul was being tormented by evil spirits. And one of his servants says to him, hey, we should get somebody in here to play the guitar. We should get somebody in here to torment those evil spirits that are tormenting Saul, right? He says, Jesse has a boy that I was walking by the other day out in the field, and he was wailing away. David was content doing the last thing God told him and spending time in the presence. David was diligent with feeding the sheep and goats and just working on his scales. I haven't warmed up today, so don't judge me right now. But he was content just playing. He was content just in the field right there, just worship on his own, on the guitar. And then they sent for David. They sent for him. He was requested because he could have been the answer to a problem. He was the answer to a problem. David did not inquire about going to the palace. He did not use his connections that he had to get into the palace. He was just content doing the last thing that God told him to and spending time in the presence. When you're doing what God told you to, you will never have to vie for your position. You will be sent for. You will be sent for. He didn't come to the palace empty-handed with nothing, right? He came with his skills. He was working diligently on his skills. He was working diligently at what the Lord had given him. Some of us are so deficient in our skills. Some of us don't even know how to serve God because we're just waiting for what that big calling that God has, but we can't even work on the skills and the things that are in our hands at this very moment. If David couldn't even play the guitar, he would have never been invited. He would have never been invited. David's first time to the palace, where he was ultimately called to be as a leader, but he arrived as a servant. He arrived as a servant. Perhaps God will allow you to even taste and see what he has for you if you were to just serve. The enemy is ready to hit you hard. The enemy is ready to take you out. And he's going to tell you that you're not worth anything, that you haven't heard, you don't have anything to offer. But God says, I've still marked you. I've still called you. I will elevate you in my timing, but you need to serve first. You see, serving God is just is the same up here elevated as it is down here. It is the same up here as it is down here. I serve the same. I love the same up here that I do down here. That is what living a life with God is all about. As a young leader in this room, and as there are other young leaders in this room too, if we want to be leaders, we should be finding a leader to serve under and tormenting what torments them. David tormented the spirits which were tormenting Saul, right? Yes. As leaders in this room, we should be looking to serve our leaders and to torment what torments them. That boss that you don't like, that doesn't like you, ask them tomorrow, what is your biggest challenge? Don't ask for a promotion, don't ask for a raise, because God is working on your heart. God's working on your heart. That's what David did. He tormented what tormented Saul. However, sometimes we're the ones tormenting our leaders. What are you choosing to do? Are we the ones that gossip? Are we the ones that complain at work? Are we the ones that are causing division in our team? But how are you going to torment what torments your boss? The dishes that are still in the sink at your parents' house? Yeah, wash those. The dog poop that's piling up in the backyard, yeah, go pick that up. We're talking practicals for a second. Torment what torments your leaders. His whole life changed because they sent for him, and he was the answer to a problem. We do not have to hold for a position to make a difference, but we have to be the answer to a problem. We are called to fill the gap, church. Yes, and the fourth thing that people who are marked by God will experience is your opportunity is wrapped in obedience. Opportunity is wrapped in obedience. Now, David is doing like double, triple duty here right now. He is serving at the palace. He's playing the harp. He's playing the guitar for Saul. And he's tormenting with torment Saul. But he has the humility to come back and serve his father and help with the sheep. Remember, humility is a big thing to God. We know that from reading the Bible. And his dad gave him instructions and says, hey, will you bring all these grilled cheeses out to your brothers? Will you bring all these grilled cheeses out to your brothers? That's how I read the Bible, guys. It says like bread and cheese, grilled cheese. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about, grilled cheese. There's nothing like a good slice of Kraft American cheese on some white bread and butter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of us would say, yeah, right, Dad, I'm not about to be no Uber Eats, no DoorDash for my brothers. Come on, are you serious? I'm called to be king. Yeah. But he was faithful to his father. He said, no problem, I got this, I got you covered. But David was humble enough to know that even when he was asked to do something, no matter how lowly it felt and it seemed, he did it anyways. You see, David's obedience to the mundane task of bringing food to his brothers and checking on how they're doing opened the door for the opportunity to face Goliath. You see that? If he hadn't been obedient, he wouldn't have been at the place of opportunity. It doesn't have to make sense, but it'll make a miracle in the name of Jesus. Let me ask you this. How many things are you missing out on because you can't simply be obedient to God? You can't follow the simple instructions that you're given. God is saying to go visit that person, but you don't even like them. And God's saying, you're missing it. You're missing it. He's but God keeps calling me to serve at the Boys and Girls Club. Your husband is there. Oh, some people are like, oh, glory to God. Oh, where's the nearest Boys and Girls Club? Like, I'm fitting to find my wife there, right? 1 Samuel 17, verse 20, it says this. It says, so David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed them. So he was going to go be obedient. But I want to throw in this bonus nugget, this leadership 101, guys, that when God gives you something else to do, you don't leave the other thing left undone. You don't leave it undone. Leadership 101. Can't tell you how many times I as a boss have asked people in the past to do things, and suddenly their basic tasks are still left undone. And it's like, no, I didn't tell you to leave this and go do something else. I'm just asking you to do something on top of that. The church can be so messy about this. Christians are so messy with this sometimes. We think that God's called us to something bigger, and so we just leave everything else out to fail in the pasture. Stewardship is the heart of God. And David left his responsibility with somebody else that would be responsible with it. Don't walk away from the things God's given you. He's called you to steward the things that he entrusts you well. Go do the last thing that God told you and spend time in the presence. Number five, the fifth thing that's going to happen is somebody who's marked by God. You'll be elevated through obstacles. You'll be elevated through obstacles. The entire army that's trained to fight are paralyzed because they've met an obstacle named Goliath. We know the story. One of the basic first stories you learn in Sunday school, right? When you're anointed by God, he will intentionally put obstacles in your path because they're meant to be vehicles to your elevation. They're meant to be vehicles to your elevation. Goliath is taunting everybody for 40 days, and David comes up with his grilled cheese sandwiches up to Goliath, and he says, "Who's that? Oh, this is Goliath. Has he been saying this stuff? Yeah, for 40 days, and you haven't done nothing yet. This guy's talking about my God. I'm not gonna let this happen." And he was like, this uncircumcised Philistine. That was like curse words back in the biblical times. I imagine I'm watching TV. This uncircumcised. Like, that's how it would be on the TV. You know what I'm talking about? And then where thousands took a step back because of an obstacle, David took a step forward because he saw an opportunity. He saw an opportunity. God gives David fresh perspective today. He had faith to step towards his obstacle. When we walk up to that obstacle, it's easy to think that, oh, I don't have enough money. Oh, I've been denied for the loan, or I was told that I wasn't going to be accepted into that thing, and we retreat. And God says, step towards it. God says, this obstacle is not meant to take you out. Obstacles and opportunity are almost the same thing depending on who's on your side. I'll say that again. Obstacles and opportunities are almost the same thing depending on who's on your side. Do you have any idea who's on your side? If God is for you, who can be against you? He's Jehovah Jireh. That's the God that we're talking about today. I think that's worthy of some praise today. Let's give God some praise for that for just a second. He's Jehovah Jireh. I was told that I would never amount to anything in life by my own family, but I stepped towards it. I stepped towards what I knew God had called me to. Now I'm a worship leader and a youth pastor standing before you today giving you this sermon, all because God gave me obstacles and I used them as opportunities. Yes, sir. I use them as opportunities. David had been practicing what he was going to do before anybody saw him. He was a master with his slingshot. And what does that mean for us? He wants to work on you in secret. He wants to work on you in secret as nobody else knows. Do what you're going to do and master it now. Master what's in your hands now. Because when it's time for you to be elevated, when it's time for your opportunity, this is not the first time. You can't flinch. This is going to be a rerun for you. You've done this over and over. You know exactly how to do this because you've been practicing. Get better at loving people. Get better at showing people Jesus. Get better at teaching. Get better at leading because one day he's gonna want to use you. In my family, I did a project in school. It was like a family tree. We called it a genogram. Genogram, yeah. And listed out all of like family tree, all of the relationships from great grandmothers and great grandparents all the way down. And you have to depict certain types of abuse, you know, like certain colors and certain shaped lines depict this means alcoholic abuse, this means emotional or physical abuse, this means divorce, this means third husband, whatever. And it was absolutely stunning to me to actually have it on paper and to see so many different colors on my thing depicting so many different types of abuse. Every single relationship in my family had all ended in some kind of divorce at one point or another in their life. Talking about grandparents who had seven different husbands, like just stuff like that. Just my family is littered with all sorts of abuse. And God has called me to be a pioneer. God has called me to be the first one to bring his name into the Minutella family name and to change my family tree from here on out. That is what he's called me to do. So I'm working on it now. I'm working on my heart. I'm working on leading people now so that when I get married and I have kids one day, this is just a rerun for me. I know how to do this. I know how to do this. The sixth thing that God does with people who are marked by God, you must be you. You've got to be true to yourself. You must be you. David picks up five smooth stones in preparation to kill Goliath. And then he tried to put Saul's armor on, if you remember that story. And then he says, these won't even fit me yet. It's a tiny 12-year-old boy. This armor will not even fit me, an adult man's armor. I know that one day I'll be king, but it doesn't fit me yet. God said he wants to use your weirdness. He wants to use your quirks. He wants to use your character. But you have to be you. Don't be like somebody else. Don't be like somebody else that you've seen that you like. What do you think that everyone else thought when David rolled up to Goliath, short 12-year-old boy to a 10-foot giant with a slingshot and five smooth stones? They must have laughed in his face. You see somebody walk up to a giant like that, says, I'm going to kill this guy with my slingshot and my five rocks. You're going to get laughed out of town, bro. But David wasn't worried because he had done this before. This was a rerun for him. He did what he knew, and he had faith in God. Because God doesn't call the qualified or he doesn't call the equipped. He qualifies the called. If he calls you, he qualifies you. If he calls you, he equips you. You can't conform to others because you have a unique fingerprint and DNA about you that will unlock favor and resources in the world if you are yourself. If you are yourself. Go do the last thing that God told you and spend time in the presence. And the final point, and the last thing that David had an experience with, and that as people who are marked by God, we would have the audacity to honor. The audacity to honor. He knocks him down, he cuts off his head, he moves on to become this great warrior, and then he goes through this process to become king. Then Saul one day heard the people talking, and they were singing a song that Saul had killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul becomes angry. He let jealousy and comparison creep into his heart. He was still in a position, but the anointing had left him. And then David goes on the run into hiding for over a decade of his life. He goes into hiding for over a decade of his life. He had the opportunity to turn around and make his leader his enemy, but he didn't. David had the audacity to honor him. Oh, the audacity to honor Saul. Yeah, that boss may not be the greatest. That boss may be horrible that you have right now. But God's asking you to honor them. Your parents may not understand what he's doing in your life, but God's asking you to honor them. At least you don't have someone trying to kill you. David had somebody trying to kill him, and he still chose to honor. The Bible tells us there was a moment where David and his men were on the run, and they were in a cave, and Saul came to relieve himself. You know, just came to relieve himself. That is the most vulnerable position a man can be in. He could have easily killed him. Like, can you imagine David and his men sees him? He's like, get him, kill him, go get him right now. And he had the audacity to honor. David gets close enough to kill him, but instead he just cut off a piece of his robe. In 1 Samuel 24 and verse 6, it says this. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to the Lord my king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." Sometimes you have to honor people's position, even if their character, skills, or talents don't line up with it. God's not looking at the leader. He's looking at your response. He's trying to see if you can be elevated through this moment of honor. Can I challenge you today, church, to go back to your job and to your boss and say, "What can I do for you, sir? What can I do for you, ma'am?" God's not looking to get even with them. He's looking at your response to honor. He's looking if you have the audacity to honor them. Go do the last thing that God told you and spend time in the presence. I came here today to encourage some of you in this room, some of you in the process where you wonder if God is even with you. He might be telling you, "Yeah, I've approved you in private already. Yeah, you were approved before anybody saw that. You're anointed before your position. I'm going to make you the answer to somebody's problem." You've got to realize that your next opportunity is wrapped in obedience. You're going to be presented with obstacles that he can elevate you through. But you just have to have the audacity to honor and be true to yourself. He's writing a story out of your life today. He's writing a story out of your life that when you stand in front of people, it's undeniable that you're marked by God. It is undeniable that you are chosen by the king. But you have to go through this process first, because there's a process to the palace. How many of you want that this morning? How many of you want to be used by the king today? God told me that if I were going to do the one last thing that he told me to do and serve how I know to serve and spend time in his presence, he says, "I will provide for you and he will send for you. He will send for you." Can you stand with me, church? We're going to lift our hands to the king right now and we're going to pray. But God wants to work on your heart. And for those of you today, I don't know. I've seen everybody's faces. I don't know where everyone's at in their journey today. But if you would say that, "Man, I've never given God a chance. I've never asked him into my heart. I've never considered walking with him." If that's you today, I just want to tell you that he's knocking at the door of your heart. He's saying, "Come walk with me today. And I want to pray with you." And if that's you in this room, and if you feel God is leading you to say, you want to experience this walk with God, would you raise your hand and make eye contact with me right now? If you've never said, "God, I want to walk with you," if this is your first time ever doing that, would you look at me today and raise your hand? See those hands? And if you've been discouraged today, if you were going to say, "I've been knocked down, I can't get up," maybe you've been knocked down, you don't want to get up, "I've been bitter, I've been impatient with God," I want to pray with you today too. And if that's you today, would you raise your hand? And I want to pray with you today. If that's you, if you've been discouraged, you've been bitter at God, you've been struggling, you say, "I know I'm called, but man, I can't do this anymore," I want to encourage you on this journey today. I see those hands. So church, if you didn't raise your hand, would you agree with me in prayer? And we're going to pray for these people, and then we're going to give God some praise and worship. Is that okay? So Lord, for those people that raised their hands, even the people that were a little bit embarrassed to raise their hands, God, I want to lift those hearts up today. God, I want to pray for those who are discouraged in spirit, who might be exhausted, who might have been beaten and tattered and destroyed, and they can't get up. God, I want to pray for a spirit of life, a spirit of healing in their soul and their spirit in Jesus' name, that they would experience life and wholeness with you, God. God, I pray that you would remind them that they have a church that loves them, that they have pastors that love them here at Hope Chapel. And God, I pray that you would surround them with the right people at the right time to love on them and to encourage them along the way. And as in church, as we have our prayer wall team come up at the end of worship, at the end of service, we're going to continue to pray for those things. This isn't over yet. God is still working. But let's take a moment right now and give God our worship today and invite him into our hearts. Yeah? Can we do that? Thank you, Lord.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.